Our ultimate goal is for you to have stress-free time to be a loving relative and friend. You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 4 of The Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. I greatly appreciate all the positive feedback I'm receiving for this relatively new podcast, where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. But can you accomplish this when you face so much emotional, physical, and financial instability on a daily basis? The answer is yes, but you're going to have to make a serious commitment and tough choices on how you view and approach the disease. It's not going to be easy, but if you start following the advice that I'm going to share in today's episode, you will make it a more positive experience for you, your family, and your loved one with dementia. Caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia is probably the most complex caregiving situation a person can find themselves in. The disease can be and is often devastating and quite challenging, to say the least. It's not like caring for someone who's rehabbing from a broken hip, where your assistance isn't needed after a few months and their cognitive abilities aren't affected. No, in fact, being a care partner for someone with Alzheimer's typically lasts for years. Your daily life is often filled with situations and events that are beyond your control, many of which have a negative impact on your emotional, physical, and financial well-being. Watching a loved one change for the worse is incredibly hard. You've known them as having certain strengths, qualities, and personality traits for years, but now all that's changing before your eyes and you probably feel helpless. But while you can't change the course of the disease, you can and must learn how to adapt so that your remaining time together can be as positive as possible. There will be hardships and struggles, and I never mean to make it sound as if it's going to be easy, because it won't be. You will fail, but you can also learn how to pick yourself back up, brush off the negative, and continue to be the best you can. Again, I'm not saying any of this is easy, but one of our greatest strengths as humans is to stay positive and to persevere. And that starts with hope. Hope that there can be good in Alzheimer's disease, and that a family living with the disease can live well. This hope starts by how we see the disease and talk about it. With more communication focused on remaining abilities and less on loss, we can improve the well-being of those with dementia as well as you, their care partner. However, if you're new to the disease, you likely have significant negative expectations about what Alzheimer's is and how it will affect your loved one and your family. You've been led to believe that cognitive impairments like Alzheimer's disease are simply a part of aging. We imagine a senile grandma sitting in a rocking chair, innocent and cute. We see family coming and going while Grams happily rocks away. Things couldn't be further from the truth for the family living with Alzheimer's disease. This misconception will likely catch you completely off guard for the emotional, physical, and financial impact unless you remain positive and implement strategies to maximize quality of life on a daily basis. In many ways, Alzheimer's does start innocently enough. A forgotten name, a missed birthday, or an extra turn on the way home from the grocery store. In fact, millions of people who are active in society are living with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia. Some of them have been diagnosed and others haven't. For them, the disease is very gradually taking their confidence and subsequently their independence. It might be months or even years before coworkers or even their spouse realizes there is something amiss. Society's misconceptions have unjustly created stigmas about dementia. For fear of being judged and ostracized, these stigmas prevent people with Alzheimer's from sharing their struggles. Consequently, they often start to quietly slip away from family, friends, and society. Alzheimer's isn't just Grammy rocking away. It's our neighbors, friends, and family members who are becoming alienated as they fight a disease which is completely misunderstood by society. It's the families such as yours who are struggling to find balance in their life that now involves helping a person with dementia maximize their well-being. Once you start to learn and understand the disease, a new but also inaccurate picture is painted, one of only loss and sadness. For decades, the medical community has painted a dreary and negative image of the person with Alzheimer's disease. Clinical models, which are used to track decline, focus on loss. These models have unfortunately become guides for family caregivers to anticipate what lies ahead. But this often creates a self-fulfilling prophecy when families expect the worst as they anticipate the next stage of decline. These bad expectations obscure the family's ability to embrace life together and defy the stereotypes and stigmas. While loss and grief is definitely an ongoing aspect of the disease, it isn't how Alzheimer's should be portrayed. Sure, it's one of life's biggest challenges, but as I said, a positive attitude is one of humankind's best weapons against any adversary. As a care partner, you must reframe how you see and present Alzheimer's disease to your family and others who are naive. People who overcome the initial wave of emotions are able to live positively with Alzheimer's while remaining actively engaged in society for many years. And while people with more advanced dementia have more challenges, they still have feelings, desires, and a yearning to be included and loved. If we continue to use negative terms and communicate a negative image of Alzheimer's disease, then the next generation will also unfairly fall victim to this misconception. Rethinking how society sees something takes generations, but it starts today with the language we use and how we convey our message to others. For instance, as a care partner, you will often be asked, "What stage is your loved one in?" Earlier, I mentioned the clinical models which are available to help you anticipate and communicate your loved one's condition. Historically, each stage of Alzheimer's has been defined by abilities that have been lost. You, however, want to focus on what remains and what is sometimes discovered, such as an artistic talent. When asked this question and when assisting your loved one, you want to be careful not to focus too much on the stage they are in. Instead, you want to change your sentiment and focus on the individual and their remaining abilities. Focusing on what remains and not on what is lost will help you best accommodate their needs and keep them feeling purposeful while maintaining their dignity. On Together in This, I have a resource page on the stages of Alzheimer's disease. This resource page contains a video and an article that should help you better understand how to reframe your view of the disease. There is also a worksheet for you to download that will help you start implementing what I'm talking about, the goal of which is to change your thinking from one of loss, or a glass half empty, to one of blessing, or a glass half full. Your objective is to review the glass half empty column and identify aspects that are more positive under the glass half full column. If this is too challenging, refer to the example that has been provided. In order to maximize the positive and find joy in your dementia care situation, there's another very important thing you must do. Most caregivers try to fight the disease rather than accept, embrace, and adjust to it. But if you don't embrace it, and you continue to fight it, you will continue to create unnecessary stress for both of you. One of the most common things the new caregiver does is attempt to get their loved one to remember things. Very commonly, they want to be sure their loved one remembers them or another family member. So they will ask, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who she is? Where were you born?" Generally, the caregiver knows their loved one will struggle when being quizzed like this, but they still hold hope that today is the day everything will turn around. They haven't let go and accepted their loved one for who they are today. All this does is create a situation where both care partners are upset. These interactions can lead to resentment, anger, and even depression, pushing you further away from your loved one. They say happiness is a choice, but the wave of emotions associated with being an Alzheimer's care partner makes it hard to find a balance that fosters happiness. So rather than fighting the disease and grieving loss, you must decide to accept them for who they are now. I want to give Susan McCauley full credit for helping me better understand what is arguably the most important and possibly the hardest decision you must make if you want to get beyond the emotional pain and find joy. Susan and I conducted a series of webinars as part of the Together in This Dementia Conversations series. During this particular conversation, Susan shared a video by Dementia Care Matters in which David Sheard articulates how the dementia caregiver faces two stark choices. He says, you can continue to want the person back, therefore your visits are about that. You want memories to be held. You want to get the person back to your reality, and the visits will be traumatic and difficult, and you will probably leave very distressed because it didn't work. And I'll add that you will probably be unnecessarily stressing your loved one as well. He goes on to say, or you have to go a different, painful journey, which is to follow the person into their dementia, and with a lot of help and support, learn to love them as they are. And if you do that, that journey, though painful, can bring you to a place where you can find different but new positive loving memories. I really want you to hear him convey this, so be sure to visit the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode4, where you will find a link to the very short video. This acceptance and letting go is extremely difficult, and it will be a daily struggle for most of you. But once you embrace it, you will find your time together will be that much more positive. And as David says, you will form new loving memories. So we've talked about how in order to have a more positive experience, you must change the way you view dementia and learn to focus on the individual and their remaining abilities rather than loss. And coupled with that, you must accept and love them for as they are today. You must stop fighting to change or fix things, and you must enter their reality. That doesn't mean you don't fight back. In this last segment of the podcast, I'm going to discuss how you do fight back to maximize the positive and joyful times. In episode 1, I discussed 8 pillars of care that you should focus on to help you and your family live well with Alzheimer's or another dementia. And really, fighting back and having a positive experience is about embracing these pillars together with your loved one. Now, that doesn't mean you're together all the time. And in fact, it's important that you find ways to enjoy me time. We all need our space and time to refresh. And let's be honest, unless you live with your loved one and their needs are minimal, you probably will never consider caregiving to be convenient. These inconveniences, when not addressed, will lead to additional strain that will have a negative impact on your relationship with your loved one as well as others around you. To maximize a positive experience, you must implement strategies to reduce this strain on your life. Sometimes that involves asking another person for help, rescheduling a conflicting meeting or event, or even co-locating, moving in with, your loved one. This can be difficult, but with some formal planning, you can find ways to reduce the inconveniences of caregiving. Now, if you're up to it, I have a series of articles to help you establish what's called a care plan. This is one of the most popular topics on Together in This. And this series includes worksheets and examples to help you get an organized plan of care in place. In an upcoming episode, I will go into details on how to create and implement a care plan to improve your situation. But in the meantime, you will find a link to this series in the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode4. Now that you've learned to focus on their remaining abilities, you've accepted who they are now, and you're looking for ways to reduce the strain of caregiving, you now want to have some fun together and create those positive experiences. Our ultimate goal is for you to have stress-free time to be a loving relative and friend, not a caregiver. By enjoying purposeful activities and having meaningful engagement together, you and your loved one will now argue less, worry less, have improved self-esteem, more personal time, and be much healthier both physically and mentally. Before the disease, it's likely you spent time together doing things that had a therapeutic benefit for both of you. For some, it's hiking, while for others, it might be horseback riding or cooking. If your loved one received an early diagnosis and is early into their disease, there are still many things you can do together. In fact, you should use the disease to live more. Please check out my resources on living life to the fullest with Alzheimer's. Although it might not be possible to perform some activities at the same level, it's likely the activities can be adapted to your current situation and your loved one's abilities. For instance, if you used to horseback ride, maybe now you go to an equestrian ranch and pet the horses together. Heather and her mom, who I mentioned in episode 2, do arts and crafts together, visit petting zoos, and do other activities that maximize their time together. If you're close to your loved one, then you instinctively know the things that they like and dislike. So creating positive activities to enjoy together is easier. But if you aren't close, then you may need a little help discovering the right activities. In this case, I highly recommend you complete a person-centered profile. This profile will help you identify their likes and dislikes and communicate it with other care partners. See the show notes as well for this form. That was a quick tickler on creating quality time together, and unfortunately, I don't have time to go into great detail in this episode, but in episode 5, I will talk at length about ways to create moments of joy with your loved one. So that concludes this episode where I discuss the things you can do together to maximize the positive aspects of being an Alzheimer's care partner. While there are a lot of negative aspects of Alzheimer's disease, continually focusing on the negative will directly affect the quality of care you provide, and often it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. However, you can, and as many families have, overcome the negativity and take a more positive approach to living with Alzheimer's or another dementia in your life. Be sure to head over to the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode4 for all the resources mentioned in today's episode. If you've been enjoying this podcast and you want to help me keep it active, please consider leaving a rating and a review on iTunes or whichever Android application you may be using. It would mean the world to me. And I can't wait to talk to you in episode 5, where I'll discuss creating purposeful activities and meaningful engagement. It's all about creating moments of joy. Bye-bye. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.